We're studying the presidents of the United States, and we're studying John Quincy Adams today. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans chapter 13. Now, if you look up here on our chart, human government was founded right there under Noah. And they were supposed to scatter and multiply over the earth. But in the, what we might call the gatherings of mankind, or in the police, the Hebrew word, the cities or villages, there were rules to be taken care of. One, you protected each man from the other. In the human nature of mankind, we have sin and wickedness and greed, and a lot of people want something that they didn't work for. When you work for something, I can guarantee you, you don't want to go gamble it away. You don't want to throw it away. You don't want to risk what you've done. You might want to give it away to somebody if they need it, if somebody is needy, but you work for it. I was talking to Marilyn yesterday, and we were coming down, and I said, you know, I never could gamble. I was raised up out here, even on this place here, learned how to walk in a cotton field, learned how to pick cotton. I wanted to do what my grandmother was doing, and I was picking cotton. She sewed a couple of sacks together. Here I am, a baby, barely walking. And I'm picking cotton. And cotton was 6 cents for 100 pounds later on in my life when I was about 6 or 7 years old. 6 cents for 100 pounds. Pick 100 pounds of cotton, or 6 cents a pound, so that's $6 for 100 pounds. Now, a quarter or a dime or a nickel was very valuable, because I remember how much cotton I had to pick to do that. It's a lot of work. And your fingers just bleed on the end. My grandmother would tape her fingers with white tape. And she would tape my little tiny fingers, because mine would start bleeding after a little while too. People try to take what you have. Governments try to take what you have. People take from you. And the whole purpose of governments was to protect people from one another. You protect the citizens from the criminals. And yet today in our country, we're protecting the criminals and chastising the citizens for being honest. There's something wrong there somewhere. And when a man kills another man, what do you do? He should be executed. That's what that says back there. If he sheds his man blood, his blood shall be shed. Now, we're going to talk about a man that was very important in America, a president that was absolutely a great man of God and a great leader in our country. Yet, from the very time that he became president, he was hounded by the press and hounded by the opposing parties. And his name was John Quincy Adams. And I have a picture of him here. That photograph was somewhere between 1843 and 1848. They have a picture of my great-great-great-grandfather about this same time period, Smith Paul. And they usually had him sitting with something. You could tell he was sitting and something is holding him still, because the exposure was very slow and you couldn't move. John Quincy Adams... was a son of a president, John Adams. John Adams also was a great man of God and a great president. But he had a problem with any type of criticism. So he, in bad humor, and actually against American democratic principles, instituted the Alien and Sedition Act. And he did jail, arrest people that only spoke against him. In a free society, the opposing party should be able to criticize you. They ought to criticize you with truth. You ought to be able to be prosecuted for slander and what we might call perjury. You should not lie about somebody. We had a president that just left office that was lied about by the press for 5 years, tremendously lied about by the press for 5 years, and I mean lies, and no one was prosecuted. That's wrong. That's they're malefactors. They're criminals that do things such as that and don't answer for their sins and their criminal acts. John Quincy Adams, was born in America when America was young. He was probably one of the most educated presidents in American history. He was fluent, like his father was, in Greek and Latin, and of course in English. John Quincy Adams was raised by his mother because his father was in politics and he wasn't home much. But his father took him to Europe when he became a diplomat. And he learned Europe. He was educated in Europe. He went to Russia, France, Netherlands, etc. And he learned what made the world tick over there. But he came back to America to finish his education. His father encouraged him to translate all of the classics that were written in Greek into English. And he did. He was a great scholar in debate. While he was represented, he was a representative, he was a senator, and he died speaking in the government office when he died. He would listen to every argument that everybody had, and some people would think he was asleep sometimes with his head laying down, but he was hearing them quietly, listening, and absolutely calculating in his mind what he should say and how he would answer and address this problem. He had such a classical education, and with the classical debates from the Greek world, that he thought like that. Where did we get a greatest part of our democracy, by the way?
The Indian people.
Well, from American Indian people, yes. They were all democracies from one end of this country to the other. But it's from Greek society. The ecclesias, the city-states that were that ruled themselves under this great massive government of the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire also. The Roman Empire adopted those things. John Quincy Adams was born in the 17th century. He was an educated man. He was a student. He was born July the 11th, 1767. He died as an American statesman February the 23rd, 1848, while he was in session, while he was speaking, they say. He served as a senator. He served as a representative. He served as a foreign diplomat. He was a Secretary of State. And probably the best Secretary of State that America ever had. He was president from 1797 to 1801, and he was dogged by Andrew Jackson all the time. Andrew Jackson split the Democratic Republic Party. Now, when John Quincy Adams became president, the Electoral College was tied up. The votes were tied up. And so the House of Representatives elected him. Andrew Jackson squalled, bawled, screamed, and hollered treason for all of his tenure, John Quincy Adams' tenure as president of the United States, and tried every way in the world, debating him through the newspapers and the media. All through his whole presidency. John Quincy Adams had served under President George Washington. He was a U.S. ambassador in the Netherlands. He was in the highest ranking diplomatic post all of his life. He served under George Washington, James Monroe. He helped establish the Monroe Doctrine. Now let's go back and look at Romans the 13th chapter for a moment. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Many of the early founding fathers of America thought that God had actually called this out, these people out. They called it manifest destiny. They believed that God had actually established the United States, one nation under God. And now they don't want to salute the flag. They don't want to do anything. I mean, what an anti-American society we live in today. These men thought that God had called them out to a special time and a special place to lead out and show to the world what a democratic republic could do with the people. Verse number 2, therefore he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. And now we have everything turned upside down, don't we? If you're bad, you're good. If you're immoral, you're moral. Don't tell me that that's wrong. Do you want to have no fear for authority in what we call an anarchy? And yet, what do we have today? Do what is good, and you will be praised from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword, and that's capital punishment, for nothing, for no reason. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. And how much we pray and we hope for justice, don't we? Society owes justice to its constituents, we say. But yet, that's not what we're seeing. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only to because of the wrath, but also for a conscience sake, we are doing the right thing. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God and devoting themselves for this very thing. You know that some people in America pay more taxes than they do in socialist countries? In socialist countries, they have free medical. And they take care of their older when they retire, and then they retire a lot younger than we do. But we're paying for taxes for what? For opulent lifestyles among the lawmakers. That's wrong. They ought to be convicted of sin, righteous, and judgment to come, because they're going. Every judge, every lawyer, every senator, every representative is going to be judged by God Himself. Because they're in places of our authority, and the more higher you are over people, you will be judged for that. You're going to be a very severely judged. I fought in court for my daughter's life and safety. And the people that were protecting the child molesters and the torturers of this little child, that I sat up there and I said, God is going to call you to judgment one of these days. Oh, don't let your client, he can't talk to me like that. I said, it's better for you if you tied a rope around your neck and put a grinding stone on the other side of it and jumped into the deepest part of the sea. I said, is that what God says? These people will be judged. Every president that ever led America will be judged by God because of what they did or didn't do. Especially for their lawless deeds. And we got some too. Boy, we got some real murderers and lifetime criminals in there, don't we? That God will judge. For because of this you pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to the very thing. Render to all what is due them, and to tax whom tax is due, and custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. That's the rules, isn't it? That's the rule set down by God. Now let's go and look at this man and see how he compared. See how he compared. Initially, he was a Federalist like his father. Now, what is a Federalist? There were Democratic Republics, Republicans, and there were Federalists. What were the Federalists? Well, the Federalists at this period of time are like the Democrats today, but not near like the Democrats today. I mean, today it is communism is what they're trying to slam down our throat. Not socialism, but communism. Socialism, you a democratic socialist republic like England, like Australia, like New Zealand, I'm going to tell you what, they're shaking in their boots today. Those countries are shaking in their boots from what's going on over here in America. They're afraid. They're afraid. America, whether it and right and wrong, sometimes wrong, absolutely wrong, we've been the policemen of the world for over 100 years. When the policeman becomes corrupt, ooh. And we're going to look at the corruption like that also. They're afraid. John Quincy Adams was born in Braintree, Massachusetts. What is now called Quincy, Massachusetts. That was named after his grandfather. His grandfather was John Quincy. John Quincy Adams was John Quincy Adams. His father was John Adams, but his grandfather was John Quincy also. He had a successful legal practice when he came back to America. And he supported himself. Well, I don't know how many president's sons can say that today. Especially the one we got in there right now. He served under Monroe. He served under Madison. He was a servant all of his life. This man was a lifetime politician and a lifetime servant to this country. But he did not become rich and line his pockets. He was great friends with Henry Clay. Henry Clay helped get him into the presidency. In 1824, the election was contested. by Adams and Andrew Jackson, William Crawford, Henry Clay, all of whom were members of the Democratic Republican Party. Now, the Federalist Party want to make a strong infrastructure in America. They want to take care. The government is larger under them because they want to be have schools. They want to have roads. They want to have postal service. They want to have libraries, etc. They want to have schools to educate the common man. Now, John Quincy Adams, even though he was a Democratic Republican, then later a Whig, as Abraham Lincoln was, by the way, he wanted to build America's infrastructure up. He believed that we needed roads, we needed libraries, we needed public utilities, so to speak. But he never got much done at all, because Andrew Jackson and another man by the name of John C. Calhoun. Now, John C. Calhoun was part of John Quincy Adams' own administration. But he was a plant. We've seen that in modern times, haven't we? We saw this in the last administration. Plants in there. People that were working with Donald Trump that were not on his side. Attorney General that should have prosecuted people that were consorting with the Chinese Communist Party, flagrantly breaking the law. All the time, all through John Quincy Adams' administration, he was sabotaged. He got very little done. But I can guarantee you one thing. The man was honest, and the man served America with all his heart, and he tried to bring forth rightful, what we might call, amendments to American populace. After he got out of office, he did not retire from public service. Adams won the election to the House of Representation of the House of Representatives, where he would serve from 1831 to his death in 1848. The man was a public servant. Now, one of the things that was different about John Quincy Adams than most of the other presidents, it is said in the world and in history that most of the early presidents were all Masons. All Masons. They were all part of the Masonic Lodge, which they were. John Quincy Adams joined the anti-Masonic party. He said they're taking their liberties of power in America is wrong. John Quincy Adams became, as he the older he got, he became more and more increasingly critical of slavery and of the Southern leaders who believed that they controlled the Southern Democratic Party. The Southern Democrats were the most conservative policy or political party in America until LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson destroyed the Southern Democratic Party and they went to the Republican side. John Quincy Adams absolutely opposed the annexation of Texas and the Mexican-American War. He opposed the annexation of Texas and the Mexican-American War. And one of our presidents later on also said the same thing. He said America had the Civil War because of the terrible injustice of the Mexican-American War. John Quincy Adams said the only way, the only reason why they wanted to annex Texas because it was a slave state, and it was a big slave state. And it extended slavery. And it's a political grip on Congress. He also led, later in life, the gag rule, which had prevented the House of Representatives from debating petitions to abolish slavery. John Quincy Adams was one of the greatest diplomats, one of the greatest secretaries of state, actually even to do with war. He negotiated treaties. He would have been a great president had it not been for Andrew Jackson and John C. Calhoun. He served under George Washington, John Adams, Monroe, and he served the state where he was representative and senator. His cause of death was a cerebral hemorrhage while he was in the House of Representatives. He was a Democratic Republican, a National Republican, an anti-Masonic lodge, and later a Whig in that order. He was a Federalist, 1792 to 1808. He was a Democratic Republican from 1809 to 1828. This man was diverse. He was a National Republican because Andrew Jackson split the party from 1828 to 1830. He was an anti-Masonic from 1830 to 1834, and he was a Whig from 1834 until his death. And if you remember right, Abraham Lincoln was a Whig when he began. He had children, George, John, Charles, and Louisa. The Adams political family would be in America for many years afterwards. He was educated in Europe, to the best education he get. Like I said, he was fluent in Greek and Latin and French and English. He graduated from Harvard University and Lyndon University. He would take part in debates at Harvard, where he studied law. And he published papers, many writings, even not under his name, what we might call just anonymously. He talked about the French Revolution. He talked about Europe and their different forms of government. He believed the United States would economically and socially benefit from staying out of the French Revolutionary Wars. When he was in the Netherlands, his main duty was to maintain loans from the Netherlands and other European nations. He worked with John Jay and the Jay Treaty with Great Britain. Adams also U.S. ambassador to Portugal. He was ambassador to Prussia. A lifetime of service. looking at my notes here. He served as the professor of logic in Brown University. He was a professor of logic at Brown University. He did everything logically for the best. And at Boylston, he was a professor of rhetoric and oratory at Harvard University. He was devoted to classical rhetoric shape, and it shaped his response to all public issues. Unlike his father, he believed in debating. Even with his neoclassical education, which made him different from many of the politicians in his day, he was educated. Wilson was elected president, and they called him the first professor. They called him the professor because he had a doctorate degree. But in all reality, John Quincy Adams had much more education than Wilson or any of the other presidents of his time. He fought with different parties. He believed America ought to be ruled by Americans and not parties. In many ways, he was anti-partition. He was a great example to America today. And even with all of his opposition that he had, he tried to do his best for America. He tried to do his best. He tried to keep his oath of office. He tried to keep his promises. Like it says, many people say that he was the greatest Secretary of State, and he was the Secretary of State for the United States in very hard times. He settled the treaty between Britain and America, where both of us could be satisfied with that. When we fought the British, what they call the War of 1812, he said he was so happy that America didn't have to cede 1 acre of land. In World War II and World War I, nations had to cede a lot of their property to other nations. But even though America was the weakest of the opponents, when America declared war on Britain in 1812, we came out looking really good because of John Quincy Adams. Later on, because of the Monroe Doctrine, America could protect the land around us to some extent. Like I said, when that treaty was worked, and this is one of the main architects of the Monroe Doctrine right here, John Quincy Adams. He also helped America acquire Florida, which was very important, in the Adams Onis Treaty. And that set the western border and also protected the Louisiana Purchase in many ways. John Quincy Adams, like Monroe, agreed on most of the major foreign policy issues within the Latin America and the United States as Latin America fought against France and Spain for liberty and for independence. And yet he wanted to stay neutral. The greatest enemy he had in his own administration was John C. Calhoun. That was not his friend. John C. Calhoun was a supporter of Andrew Jackson. And that's our next subject. Our Father, we send this little message out to let people know what really happened in our country. And sometimes We have a great man that could have been greater if the country would have followed behind them. And this is one man, exceptionally talented, that was fought all the way through his presidency. But he did give us something. He did give us many good things. The 4 years that he gave for this country, he gave in honor. And Father, forgive us for we fail you. In Jesus' name.